When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The ciphered corpse, Charles Morgan's burning enigma. The darkness gathers, and with it, the whispers. I'm Raven Vale, and this is Whispers from the Dark. Tonight, we journey to the vast, sun-baked landscapes of the American Southwest, a place of stark beauty and hidden secrets. We are heading to Tucson, Arizona, in the year 1977, where the seemingly ordinary life of a respected businessman would descend into a bewildering maelstrom of kidnapping, espionage, cryptic messages, and ultimately, a death so bizarre and contradictory that it continues to defy all explanation. This is the confounding case of Charles Morgan and the mystery of his burning car. Charles Morgan was a man who embodied the American dream. At 53 years old, he was a successful bond broker, living a comfortable life with his wife and daughters in a pleasant Tucson neighborhood. He was a pillar of his community, well regarded and seemingly without enemies. His days were filled with the predictable rhythms of business and family life. But on March 22, 1977, that predictable rhythm shattered into a nightmare of the unknown. Morgan left his home that Tuesday morning for work, as usual. He never arrived. His worried family reported him missing. Days later, his car, a green Mercury Cougar, was discovered abandoned on a remote dirt road near the outskirts of Tucson. Its engine was still running, the doors were unlocked, and his wallet, containing money and identification, lay untouched on the dashboard. His keys were in the ignition. It was as if he had simply stepped out of the vehicle and vanished into thin air. The initial police investigation yielded no clues, no signs of a struggle, no explanation for his abrupt disappearance. 4 agonizing days later, on March 26, 1977, the mystery deepened with Morgan's sudden and bizarre return. He reappeared, disoriented and profoundly weakened, staggering towards his home. His appearance was shocking. He was severely malnourished. His fingernails were broken and bleeding, and his hands and feet were blackened and swollen, as if he had been subjected to extreme physical duress. He was also clad in a perplexing ensemble, wearing a bulletproof vest beneath his clothes, and carrying a strange, unfamiliar knife tucked into his waistband. His story, delivered in a confused, rambling manner, was even more bewildering than his appearance. He claimed he had been kidnapped by unknown assailants, forced into a van, and driven for days. He stated he had been held captive, interrogated, and repeatedly forced to drink a foul-tasting, poisoned liquid, which he believed was meant to kill him slowly. He told his family that he was secretly involved in international intelligence operations, and that his captors were seeking information related to illegal arms deals and money laundering. He spoke of shadowy figures, powerful organizations, and threats against his family if he revealed details to the authorities. His claims, however, were not consistent, shifting and changing in his disoriented state. His family, desperate for him to recover, rushed him to the hospital. Doctors confirmed his physical state: severe dehydration, malnutrition, and exhaustion. However, they found no traces of poison in his system that could account for his claims, nor any definitive physical trauma, beyond his exhaustion and the condition of his hands and feet. The police, while taking his statement, were skeptical, attributing his fantastical claims to a stress-induced psychotic episode or an elaborate delusion. Morgan, however, steadfastly refused to cooperate fully with law enforcement, reiterating the threats against his family if he revealed too much. He lived in a state of constant fear, barricading himself in his home, convinced he was still being watched. 3 months later, the tragic and baffling saga of Charles Morgan reached its chilling conclusion. On June 22, 1977, he vanished again, leaving his home around 7 a.m. Days later, on June 25th, his body was discovered in a remote, brush-filled gulch in Maricopa County, some 150 miles from his Tucson home. He had been shot once in the back of the head. The scene was as perplexing as his earlier disappearance. His body was found wearing the same bulletproof vest he had worn during his return. Nearby, his car was discovered, still running, its engine compartment on fire. The blaze was quickly extinguished by authorities, but it added yet another layer of bizarre circumstance to his death. The discovery of his body and the subsequent forensic examination only deepened the mystery. The single gunshot wound to the back of the head suggested an execution-style killing, common in organized crime. Yet why would a killer execute a man wearing a bulletproof vest by shooting him in the head and then leave him in the open? Why set the car on fire, potentially drawing attention? The contradictions were profound, making a straightforward murder interpretation incredibly difficult. And then, the most baffling pieces of evidence emerged. Cryptic notes left on and near his body. Pinned to his underwear, investigators found a $2 bill. On its front, a hand-drawn map of his property was sketched. On the back of the bill, in his own handwriting, was a chilling, coded message referencing Bible verses. Specifically, the note directed attention to 2 Corinthians 5:11. The verse reads, "Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." This was no random scripture. It was a powerful, unsettling message hinting at judgment, fear, and revelation. Additionally, in his wallet, investigators found another note. "Check the Mexican restaurant, the one with the brown and white stripes." The police were utterly confounded. The bizarre combination of his alleged kidnapping, his claims of espionage, the bulletproof vest, the burning car, the gunshot wound to the head, and the cryptic notes created a puzzle of unprecedented complexity. Theories ranged from a highly elaborate suicide, which seemed physically impossible given the circumstances, to a professional hit by organized crime due to his alleged mafia connections, or even an intelligence operation gone horribly wrong. Each theory presented insurmountable contradictions. The notes themselves were analyzed by code-breaking experts, but their true meaning and their connection to his death remained elusive. Was the Bible verse a warning? A confession? A message to his killers? The case of Charles Morgan remains officially unsolved, a cold case that continues to baffle law enforcement and fascinate the public. His death is a grim testament to the intricate webs of secrecy, danger, and the inexplicable. What truly happened to Charles Morgan in 1977, dear listeners? Was he a spy, caught in a deadly game of international intrigue? Was he entangled with the mob, and his death a brutal, final message? Or did his mind simply fracture, creating a terrifying reality that led him to his own incomprehensible demise, leaving behind a cryptic suicide note. The terrifying implication is that the truth, hidden within those coded messages and behind the veil of a burning car, is far more complex and chilling than any fiction. Charles Morgan's final, desperate attempt to communicate, forever sealed in a cryptic cipher, leaves us to ponder the terror of what he knew and what he ultimately couldn't escape. Until next time, when the whispers grow louder.